Brothers and sisters, good to be back with you today. Everything in this world is connected to either good or evil. If something is not good, then it's evil. There is no in between. God is good. He is righteous. He's just. He's light. Satan is evil. He's wicked, and he's darkness. The Bible tells us all about God's goodness. He created the earth and everything in it, and he declared it good. He created animals and man, both male and female, and he declared it good. He told Adam and Eve to reproduce and replenish the earth. God told Noah to build an ark, and when the flood came, Noah was instructed to take two of each kind of animal, male and female, into the ark so that after the flood, the earth could be repopulated. Now God created the laws of nature, the laws of science. He created the laws of physics and chemistry, biology and medicine. The laws of every branch of science were created by God, and man cannot lay claim to any of them. He can only discover how they work. God is in control of the weather, the seasons, and all of nature. In and of themselves, all of these things are good and were created for God's glory and man's benefit. But evil corrupts God's creation when Satan, the prince of darkness, perverts God's laws. Homosexuality, for one thing, is a perversion of God's law of nature. Homosexuality is of Satan's dark world. Homosexuality was practiced in the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God rained down fire and brimstone and destroyed them. The Israelites engaged in homosexual acts with temple prostitutes when they worship the gods of Baal. Now I want you to know, abortion is a perversion of God's creation of life. God told the prophet Jeremiah, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet to the nations." Every child conceived in the womb is formed by God. God is the God of life and light, but Satan is the God of death and darkness. Ever since man was created, Satan has been at work trying to destroy God's influence of goodness and light. Satan will do whatever he can to keep man in darkness. And when God's light does shine upon man, Satan does everything he can to pervert that light and send man back into the world of darkness. Now, our scripture for today illustrates how Satan works to affect the minds of God's lost children. Our scripture today comes from 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 3rd through the 4th verse. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Satan's primary job is hiding the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ from those who are lost. He's a master deceiver. His chief attribute is deceit. He first demonstrated his ability to deceive in the Garden of Eden, when Satan approached Eve in Genesis 3 in the form of a serpent. The first thing he did was cause her to question God. He said, "Did God really say you couldn't eat of every tree in the garden?" Eve explained what God had said about not eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She told Satan that when they ate of the fruit, they would die. Satan contradicts God in his next statement. He says, "Ye shall not surely die. God knows when you eat of the fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil." When Adam and Eve ate of the fruit and their eyes were opened to the knowledge of good and evil, all of mankind received the death sentence. The immediate result of their transgression of God's law was spiritual death. Adam and Eve and all of mankind were plunged into spiritual darkness. And throughout the centuries, Satan has attempted to keep all of those he can in darkness. Satan is Christ's chief adversary. In John 12 and 31, Jesus calls him the prince of this world. The Apostle Paul calls him the prince of the air in Ephesians 2 and 2. He calls him the ruler of darkness in Ephesians 6 and 12. His agenda is revealed in Isaiah 14, 12 through 14. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Satan is the prince of this world, the ruler of darkness, and he wants to be like God. Now, Satan is a religious fraud. His chief work of deception is in the area. Listen to me now. Listen to what I'm telling you. Now, I want you to know that Satan, first of all, I want you to know that he is a religious fraud. And his chief work of deception is in the area of none other than religion. Satan doesn't spend his time in honky-tonks. He doesn't water around in the gutters where the drunks and the drug addicts are. He doesn't talk about evil and hell. He talks about God. Everything he said to Eve was about God. Satan succeeded in getting Eve to think independently of God and depend on her own ability to reason and decide for herself. She took control of her destiny, and look now what happened. This is the way Satan works. Jude speaks of Satan's ministers in Jude 4. For there are certain men, creeping unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. Now Satan, he's all about religion. And through religion, salvation has been hijacked. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. Religion says salvation is of man and the church. Now Jesus told the Pharisees they were religious, but they were not of God. The Pharisees had a religious system. They made laws. They kept laws. They prayed. They fasted. And they thought these things made them righteous. The same kind of religion has hijacked salvation today, brothers and sisters, and it's put man in control of it. Religion has put man in charge of collecting the money, building crystal cathedrals, and drawing people into the church. Religion can bring people into the church now, but it can't give them salvation. Religion couldn't give the Pharisees salvation in Jesus' day, and it can't give man salvation today. Satan's religion is a counterfeit religion. Just as darkness is the opposite of light, a lie is the opposite of the truth. Satan's religion is the opposite of the gospel. He makes his doctrine sound good to carnal man. Satan's religion is so appealing, so easy, and so logical to natural man who is already in spiritual darkness, that many fall for the lies of Satan's ministers of righteousness. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, the 14th through the 15th verse, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. False prophets don't preach in Satan's name. They preach in Jesus' name. But they don't preach God's righteousness in Christ. They preach man's righteousness. You ever think about that? What the devil does and how he moves God's word? How he moves it around and twists it? Now, they try to convince men that they can be as God and make spiritual decisions. Satan succeeded with Eve. And he continues to succeed with men who are in spiritual darkness. Satan's false preachers hide the glorious gospel of, you know, it is a glorious gospel of Christ. And Satan hides this gospel. Do you ever think about what Satan's false preachers do? Satan's false preachers, they hide the glorious gospel of Christ from the lost by preaching that man is in control of his salvation. Satan's ministers of righteousness preach that God wants a man to have a choice in his salvation, that God wouldn't be fair unless he gave man a choice. Now, Satan's desire is to be like the Most High. Matthew 4, 8 and 9 tells of Satan's third temptation of Jesus. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Now Jesus said in verse 10, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Satan claims the kingdom, the power, and the glory are his to give. In Matthew 6, Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Now listen to me. They pray like this. This is what Jesus taught the disciples to pray. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. The kingdom is God's, the power is God's, and the glory is God's. Satan is a master in using God's word to his own advantage. His deceit is subtle. He keeps the gospel hid from those who are lost by twisting it, by distorting it, by causing people to question what God has said, his motives and his character. Satan's job is easy because his message, it is appealing to man. It's just what man in his spiritual darkness wants to hear. Jesus said in Matthew 6:22-23, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness, he says. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:7-8, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. How spiritually blind people of Jesus' day must have been to have seen Jesus healing of the sick and the blind, raising the dead, feeding the 5,000, and to have heard his teaching of the scriptures. How blind the religious people of his day must have been to have had the Old Testament and the prophecies and not recognize their own Messiah. The religious leaders thought they knew God. They thought they were the chosen of God because they were of the seed of Abraham. But they couldn't even recognize God in the flesh. They opposed Christ in every way. But Jesus knew their hearts, and he told them in John 8:43-47, why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God, listen to me now. He that is of God, listen to this scripture. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. If like the Pharisees, ye are not of God, how can you hear God's words and make a choice to accept him? Now I'm telling you, you can't. The Pharisees taught Satan's gospel of man's righteousness. The Pharisees of that day went about establishing a righteousness of their own in their outward displays of religion, praying long prayers aloud in public to be seen and heard of men, dropping coins in the offering plate so they would make noise and people would assume they'd given much, creating hundreds of laws for people to follow and elevating them above God's laws and commandments. Jesus, now I'm telling you, he kept all the laws of the scripture. Now, it was the laws of the Jewish Talmud that the Pharisees continually reprimanded Jesus for not keeping. Healing on the Sabbath, the ceremonial washing of hands before eating, conversing with Gentiles. These religious leaders believed they were of God because they chose to be. They played the part well. How angry they must have been when Jesus told them they were of their father the devil. Fallen man may believe he is alive until his body dies, but to God he is already dead in trespasses and sins. As Adam's descendants, we are all born spiritually dead, separated from God. We walk in darkness, serving the devil. We cannot see God or know God because we are surrounded by darkness. But man is religious by nature. I want you to know that. Man is religious by nature. When Moses was gone for what it seemed like forever to the Israelites, they made Aaron mold them a golden calf to worship. The people they came in contact with when they entered the promised land all had their own gods and their idols created by man. Satan easily takes advantage because of man's need for religion. Satan is a religious fraud who has crafted his own religion by twisting and misusing God's holy word. False doctrine conceals the very heart of truth from those who need the truth. Because it is a lie, false doctrine breeds more and more sin. You ever thought about that? Because of the false doctrines that are taking place in our country today, it breeds more and more sin. More and more sin that our people are involved in. It's no wonder our churches today are full of people living in adultery or homosexuality, addicted to gambling or pornography, molesting children, stealing from the people they work for, and pretending to be religious anchors of the church and the community. The result of all false doctrine is to turn the grace of our Lord into lasciviousness. And no amount of preaching or persuading will cause Satan's disciples to let go of their false doctrines until God shines his marvelous light to dispel the darkness. Truth is the only thing that can free people from spiritual darkness and the bondage of sin. Jesus said in John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Paul said in Romans 1:16, that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Paul told the church at Thessalonica in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Truth is necessary for salvation. God will not call his children through the belief of a lie. When he shines his marvelous light in their hearts, all darkness is dispelled. They are chosen to salvation through belief of the truth. The Apostle John said in 1 John 1:5, "God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." God is the essence of truth. Truth cannot contradict itself, and it cannot contradict who God is or what God does. In his prayer in John 17, Jesus said in verse 17, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Jesus told Pilate in John 18:37, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." One of Satan's most convincing lies today is that God wants man to be able to choose or reject God's offer of salvation. The truth is that salvation is a free gift, not an offer. It's not an offer, brothers and sisters. Man cannot see God through his spiritual darkness. When God shines his marvelous light in man's heart, darkness is dispelled. When man is enabled to see the truth, he has been set free, and he will not reject God. Another one of Satan's lies is that God would not be just if he didn't give everyone a chance to be saved. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, salvation is not by chance. Men in darkness don't want to be saved. Jesus said in John 3:19-20, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." Men love darkness. Every man in darkness will reject God because he loves darkness. He will not come to the light. David said in Psalms 14:2-3 and Psalms 53:2-3, "The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. They are all," this is what the scripture said, "they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." The Apostle Paul quotes these verses in Romans 3:10-12. "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." You hear what he's saying? "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." If salvation were an offer, man would reject it. The darkness he is in blinds him to the truth. Man loves darkness. He loves self. He does not love God unless God loves him first. And he does not want any authority telling him what he can and cannot do. Now I'm going to tell you, salvation is not a proposition. It is a proclamation from God Almighty. Now Paul deals with the question of God's fairness in the 9th chapter of Romans. He describes God's choice of Jacob over Esau when the children were in their mother's womb, and neither had done any good or evil. Now Paul says in verses 13 through 16, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy. Listen to what he says. This is scripture, brothers and sisters. And if you don't believe it, you go there and read it. He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not, he says, so then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. God is sovereign in all things. No one can accuse God of being unjust. He is God, and he can do whatever he pleases. Does God have the right to love whom he chooses to love? Well, you answer it. Does he or doesn't he? Does he have the right to give the gift of salvation to whomever he pleases? Answer that. Does he or does he not? The giver of a gift, I want to know what people are saying. Does he have that right? The giver of a gift has the right to give the gift to whomever he pleases. Satan has those in darkness convinced that God owes the gift to everyone, that everyone must have a chance to receive the gift. God doesn't owe anyone anything. If he chooses to save one person, 10 people, or all people, God cannot be accused of being unfair, because that would be contrary to his character. God cannot be anything but just. God doesn't have to save anyone. He saves according to the good pleasure. According to what? What does the Bible say? According to the good pleasure of his will. Satan justifies his lie by saying, well, God has chosen to step back and not exercise his sovereignty in the case of man's salvation. He doesn't want to force man to love him. He wants man to have a choice. There isn't a single scripture, I'm telling you, that supports this kind of thinking. We sing the hymn, I Surrender All, in church now, and we pray, Thy will be done. It's a contradiction to say God doesn't want to control man like a robot and turn around and say, surrender your all to God's will. The truth cannot contradict itself. Now, I want you to know something about Satan. He does not openly recruit people for hell. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The broad way that leads to destruction is not marked. This is the way to hell. It is cleverly disguised as another way to heaven. It is appealing. It is well traveled. And it accommodates the extra baggage of self-righteousness and sin and materialism for those who want Jesus without any change in their lives. And that's what most people want. I'll take him, but I don't want any change in my life. Don't mess with what I'm doing. But the light God shines in the hearts of his chosen people is a revealing light. It reveals truth. And it's a humbling light. It allows sinners to see themselves for the wretched sinner they are, as they stand before a holy God. Now writing to Christians in 1 Peter 2 and 9, the Apostle Peter said, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now Paul told the church at Corinth in 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God's light is the only thing that can dispel spiritual darkness, that can dispel. That's what the Bible says. His light dispels spiritual darkness, not what some man tells you or what some man does. Man in spiritual darkness cannot see God until the darkness is dispelled. He cannot love God or desire God until the darkness is made light. The scriptures will not make sense to him until he understands it, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light must be turned on before man can see. And God, I'm telling you, controls the light switch. Man does not even have the access to it. Man has no control over the light that God shines in the heart to dispel darkness. Jesus told the Jews who sought to kill him in John 5 and 39 through 42. He says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And you will not come to me, that you might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you." Now I'm telling you, Jesus knew the love of God was not in these men, even though they were Jews, and considered themselves the chosen of God. They were religious, but they were evil. They thought they had eternal life, but they couldn't even recognize God in the flesh. Jesus prayed in John 17, 2 and 3, "As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." The Father gave the Son power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as the Father gave him. In this prayer, Jesus gives the best definition of eternal life in the entire Bible. "And this," he says, "and this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Jesus did not define eternal life by its length. Most people do. Eternal life is everlasting life. It lasts forever. But Jesus defines eternal life but by the knowledge given when God's marvelous light dispels spiritual darkness, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Eternal life is knowing God, the one true God, not the God that Satan wants you to know. And no one in spiritual darkness can know the one true sovereign God unless God himself chooses to reveal himself. Today, evangelicals are using Satan's manipulative lies to bring the lost to Christ. They are desperate to follow the culture, and they seek out the most modern appeals to attract people to the church. They use rock music and clowns and skits and drama, sports, all kinds of things. They're trying to make Christ contemporary. They're groping about in darkness, proclaiming a Christ they don't even know. As children of God, our battle is well defined by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 and 12. And he says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual witness and wickedness in high places." Our fight is against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The light that God has shined in our hearts must shine abroad. We must proclaim the truth, because only the truth is light, and only light will dispel darkness. May the Lord bless you today.